Welcome to the Music Talk podcast with me, Graham Farmer. In this series of conversations, I interview some of the biggest artists, DJs and producers in the world. I hope you enjoy this series. Let's get into it.
Here we go. Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
How was your weekend?
Good, man. Really relaxing, actually. I just moved to the other side of the country a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And went back home to my mother still lives where I used to live in that area. And I went back there to stay a few days with her and visit my local friends. So
nice.
Had a good time. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. I was trying to think back when I started working with you. Like, I remember, did we do some web stuff together a long, long time ago? I think I built a website for you such a long time ago when I was building websites in the 2000s somewhere, like...
You might even have created my logo back then. I think so.
I think a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you started Manual Music in 2005, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I was looking at your SoundCloud earlier. You have releases, but you were also premiering tracks. Is that for other labels or is that for yourself?
No, the premieres are only for the in-house labels, so Manual Music and the sub-labels, or sister labels, if you want to call it like that. We do some reposts, though, for others. We're open for reposting.
How many labels have you got now that's part of your sister labels?
I think we've got six or seven. We've got Manual Music, M&L, Manual Deep, 90 Watts, Cinematic, and then we've got Magnitude Recordings. I think that's the active labels at the moment. We also have quite a big back catalog of defunct labels as well. But wow. These are the active labels at the moment, yeah.
How many releases are you doing a week across all those labels?
Some weeks we do two, some weeks we do three. Okay. So it's about 10 a month on average.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's hectic. That's cool though.
Yeah, it keeps you off the streets, yeah.
And then I guess each label has its own unique sound and identity, so you could be signing across a lot of different genres.
Yeah, that's the whole idea behind it, indeed, yeah. Yeah, and some labels are, I mean, I don't do A&R for all of the labels. Some labels are part of the Manual Music label group, but the A&R is done by someone else. Like Magnitude Recordings, for instance, it's Francesco Pico's label, and it used to be a standalone label. But yeah, he asked for my help with a lot of, how do you say it? He wants to focus on the creative stuff. Mm. And we've got everything in place here to help him with everything else. So it became an official sub-label of Manual Music. So I'm not doing the A&R for that one. Of course, if I hear a track which might fit on that label, I'll pass it on to him. So yeah, some labels I do the A&R. Other labels have an own specific A&R person for it.
Are you doing the distribution and back end for him then? Is that there?
Yeah, like digital distribution, royalty accounting, promo bailouts through our pool and everything like that. Yeah.
Wow. So you've got like the full, like, I didn't realize you were that kind of, you had all that as well. That's cool.
Yeah. It's basically a 360 model almost, because, we also have our bookings agency. We offer publishing as well through our partners and, lots of stuff going on. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. I know very well that you are well on it when it comes to Spotify. And I wanted to kind of get your advice on how that works for you and what you do around releases on Spotify, because I know I probably can learn a lot from you seem to be just completely on it when it comes to Spotify. So
I found it interesting from the get-go, Spotify, because I've been working in the music industry now for a little over 20 years now. And the problem before, or when it was booming, it wasn't a problem, of course. But when someone buys one download, they have it. They don't buy it again. If someone buys one vinyl or one CD, they have it and they don't buy it again. And the thing with Spotify, even though, of course, it's a really small amount of money, I see that the old music still gets played, you know, because if you like a track, you add it to your favorites or you add it to your playlists. You're in the car, you put your playlist on shuffle play, and then the track comes along every now and then. And if many people do that, then of course you have a good revenue stream of royalties coming in every month. So that's the whole idea behind it, to make sure that every track, when it gets released, gets the right amount of attention. So enough people will see it. And if they like it, then you've got like a guarantee of a continuous stream of royalties coming in, if that makes sense. Yeah, first of all, I focused on making my own playlists and trying to get as much following there as possible, because then you make your own success, of course. That really helps. But I also put in many, many, many hours, like days, weeks, to find out, to map out all the other playlists in the particular genres my labels are releasing in, and try to build to establish a relationship with the people behind those playlists. So now I've got, like, every Friday when the music is coming out, I'd say we spend about 1.5 to 2 hours only, like, contacting people and telling them, hey, this is our new EP or our new single by this and this artist. Maybe you like it for your playlist. And so we invest a lot of time in that, building relationships and pitching music. So it's not it doesn't come automatically, you know. It's a lot of time and effort goes into it, but with relatively good success, I think. Yeah.
I mean, getting on those playlists, does that help you with kind of AI support from Spotify as well then?
No, not really. No, I think Spotify is pretty much closed off in terms of who does the playlist curation. So you can't really contact Spotify directly and say, like, or a person at Spotify directly and say, like, this is the track for us. Can you please put it in your Electronic Rising playlist or something like that? It doesn't work like that. Of course, pitching music is really important, but I think the best, yeah, it's a bit cliche to say, but it's best to make your own success and don't be dependent on if they might place it in their official playlist or not.
Right.
It's great if they do so, and it really helps. But it's basically the same discussion people had with Beatport like 10 or 15 years ago. Like, okay, how can I get a banner on Beatport? Can I buy it, or can I? Who should I contact? And the way I always tell the people I work for, like, we do distribution for a lot of labels, and I work with a lot of artists, of course. And I always tell them the way you should look at it is like a store. It is a store, of course, but it's the same like when you go buy some sneakers and you go to the window of the sneaker store and you see only maybe 5 pairs of sneakers in that store, because the store placed them there because they think they are the hot items at the moment. It's the same with Beatport or with Spotify. It's up to them what they put on the, I don't know what's the English word when you put something like in the shopping window. There's probably a term for that. What's the term?
I guess it's featured. I guess it'd be featured by them on the front page, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it's up to them what they feature, you know?
Yes.
And of course, you can, if they don't know about it, they can't feature it. So you can put it in front of their face and say, like, this is what we got. But then it's still their decision. It's never a guarantee that you get placed somewhere. And it's same with Spotify. It's never a guarantee that you get picked up by a playlist. In fact, everyone wants to be picked up by, for instance, Electronic Rising or Knight Rider. And they maybe pick 20 or 30 new tracks each week. So imagine getting like 1,000 submissions and only having place for 20 tracks, you know? So I think it's always better to make your own success where possible, and make sure that you do everything right and that you send it to privately curated playlists. Make sure you pitch it to Spotify so they have it in front of them, but also because everything you pitch to Spotify goes into your release radar. And release radar is the place where all the people who are following you, they will get it in their playlist, like you have a new track out, you know? So it's really important. And even then, we noticed that sometimes a track doesn't get picked up immediately by Spotify, but after a while, they pick it up anyways because of the algorithm. So yeah, long story short, I mean, if you do everything right, then you have a bigger chance of getting featured as well, but it's never a guarantee. And at least if you do everything right and you've built up something which might actually take a couple of years, you can't expect to be like an instant success. Then you could be in a quite comfortable place with getting some place going on and your music being heard.
Are you doing that same strategy across the other streaming platforms, or are you just Spotify?
At the moment, Spotify is the main thing, yeah. But if we have really like a big release, like a little bit more crossover appeal or an artist who already has a lot of following, then we try to do it a little bit wider. And then we also get some like Apple Music playlist support or Deezer or Amazon or stuff like that. I want to dive into that more as well, but my focus was on Spotify in the past 2 or 3 years. And I've just created like a Deezer artist account. I've created an Apple Music artist account just to see what's going on there and if we can benefit from it as well and make manual music playlists and stuff like that. Because for me, that's really, well, it's not even the future anymore. It's already happening, you know, but it's really important to get it done. Yeah, to do it right, I think.
Yeah, we were looking at the Amazon backstage the other week, and that looked quite cool. Like, you can even put merch on sale through Amazon. It looked
yeah, incredible. So there are definitely options out there, you know. Just in my case, you can't do everything at once. And I'd rather do like one thing really well instead of like doing 5 things at once and doing them all like half-assed, you know.
Do you have any cool tools for finding those third-party playlist owners?
No, it was really a matter. No, in the beginning, it was really a matter of, well, if you go on Spotify and you go to the artists you like, you can see which playlist they are featured in. So that already helps, like mapping out the playlists. And if you spend a lot of time on it, you'll find the same playlist bringing in the most plays. And often they are done by a DJ or a company or a person, and you can find those names online, of course. So that's the beginning. And that's really a struggle. In my case, it really helps that my own playlist, I have a playlist called Dalpy for Progressive, and it's got 13,000 subscribers or followers at the moment.
Yep.
So then other playlisters reach out to me as well and see if we can make a swap or something like that. They're like, okay, I have this track. If you like it, you can add it. Have you got something for my playlist? So we also work together a lot. So it's like the bigger picture. Another tool, if you're talking about tools, which I really like, is SubmitHub. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Yeah.
There you can really find the right playlist in your genres and put music forward to playlist curators. At the same time, people must know that the playlist curators get a lot of music. So it's basically the same as before, as I told you about Spotify, like thousands of tracks for 20 spots. It's the same with SubmitHub. I mean, I'm on it. I'm actually muted at the moment at SubmitHub because they demand a 48-hour response and I was away for the weekend. But so if people are searching now, they can't find me. I will switch it on after this chat. But I get so many tracks sent through SubmitHub for my Dalpy for Progressive playlist. And I'm only adding like 15 or 20 tracks a week. And that includes my own labels. And that includes working together with other Spotify playlisters as well. So there's only a few spots left, which makes you really picky, I guess. And I think that's the same now with demo listening. We're going to listen to demos in a bit, of course.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. We get absolutely flooded with demos. So then you can afford to be really picky as a record company, yeah?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Someone in the chat says, do you have any tips for Spotify pitching?
Yeah, on Spotify, you've got three options for pitching. In the beginning, when you do a pitch, if you have an artist account, you can just pitch as an artist, which is always the best. But your manager or your record company can also do the pitch. And I always say to people, well, the most important thing is to do the pitch. I mean, if you don't do it, it doesn't go into your release radar, and then your fans won't find out on Spotify that it's there. Of course, they might find out through your socials or something like that. If you have all those options, I think the best way would be for the artist to do the pitch themselves, because then it's more personal instead of like an anonymous record label saying like, oh, this is the latest banger. And, you know, I think it's, in my experience, it works best if you keep it a bit personal. So don't say like, yeah, this is the big new banger by myself and the drop is at 3 minutes and something like that. And it sounds like, well, you can say it sounds like, but I think that the best thing is, for me, in my experience, is that you write a personal story, a little personal story about it. What inspired you to make it?
That's cool.
Could be the strangest thing, you know, or maybe if you make a collab with an artist, how did it come about, you know? So you could write something like, yeah, I was on holiday in name a place in Portugal, and I got really inspired by the surroundings, and you might hear this in my song because of blah, blah, blah. I don't know, just something personal instead of something standard, which everyone is sending, you know? I think that helps.
That's cool.
But again, never any guarantees.
That's cool. Do you put things like who's supporting the record in there, or do you just keep it to the personal story?
No, I keep it to the personal story because everyone can say, like, Sasha's playing my record. No, no one can check if it's true, you know?
Right.
I mean, of course, if it's a really big one that, for instance, if Sasha has been playing for months in a row and there's a lot of video content about it and everyone's asking for the track ID, of course, then you can mention it. But otherwise, you can just, I mean, we do a promo pool as well, and then you get a feedback like download it for Sasha, for instance, or Sasha says, thanks, I will check it out. And then people are like, Sasha's supporting my music, you know, so everyone can just make a list of A-listers in their genre and say that they are playing it. Yeah, and a lot of people are doing it. So it doesn't make you stand out from the rest if you do something like that, you know?
Yeah, someone said in the chat, downloaded for Richie Horn.
For instance, yeah. I think you've got those memes as well, right? Like, yeah, Rich Horton's playing my music.
Yeah, exactly. That's super interesting. I never thought about doing a story. That's really cool. I think I've been doing the other way, but that's cool to know. I'm going to try that next time.
So how's your success on Spotify then? Did you have success with the other way? Because it's my personal experience. I'm not saying that any other way isn't the right way, you know.
Do you know, I've just been kind of putting about the record, and like if it's being supported across multiple platforms, and also I've also been including things like ad spend in there, just in case, like it's like I'm just trying to give a rounded picture of the whole of the release, you know. Because if we are putting a load of effort into it, then it's like if that helps them make a decision, then that's who knows, you know. Like you say, like there's no guarantees.
No, of course. Anything,
so it's like just try and error.
Yeah, but in case if you hired like a pretty known PR company to promote the release or the album or something like that, of course it's worth mentioning, because then they know that it's being properly placed into the market, which helps as well, of course.
Yes.
So yeah, that's definitely a good way to go as well. Yeah.
Well, just back to the Submit Hub thing. I'm familiar with Submit Hub. I was on there. It was relentless. I was getting so much music and like you say, you want a 48-hour turnaround. And I was just like, I can't keep up with it. Like,
as a playlister, I really hate the 48-hour turnaround, to be honest, because it's, I think it sounds a bit like we don't have we have a really luxury life because we work in the music industry, and we basically, in my case, if I speak for myself, I've made a living out of my hobby, you know.
Me
so
too.
There's definitely, it's like a first world problems kind of thing, but we do have a private life as well. We're not like 24/7 only working, you know. I mean I have a personal life as well, so a 48-hour turnaround you need to listen to the music submitted to you on Submit Hub isn't always possible, because if I switch my computer off on Friday afternoon, I don't switch it on until Monday, you know. Really, because weekends, I mean, in the past it was a different way. I used to work 7 days a week, but I do have a private life now as well, which I like to spend with my friends and with my family and with my girlfriend, you know. So I really wish they would make it at least a 3-day period to be, because I'm not too lazy to listen to the submissions, but sometimes you just have weekend, you know, or you just have a mini holiday. Well, when you have holiday, you can of course switch it off completely, but still, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that was the one for me, because it was like, obviously music's coming out on Fridays, so you literally have to listen to it over the weekend, otherwise you're going to get penalised by Submit Hub. And I'm like, well, I've got my daughter, I've got to look after a child. I can't be listening to, you know,
exactly.
As much as I like listening to music, I can't be doing it while she's here. It's her time, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, at the moment, of course, in the last 1.5 year, I was hardly or not DJing at all. But in my normal life, I mean, I'm not a DJ that plays every weekend or something like that. But there are weekends that I'm DJing and that I'm traveling. So then I leave on a Friday morning and I come back at home on Sunday night. And then they expect me still to listen to submissions. And then, it's impossible sometimes. But I do my best, you know.
One last question before we get into these demos. Do you have any tips for curation of your playlist? Like you say, you've got a lot of people on your playlist. Do you curate it anyway? How did you kind of build that playlist and get those numbers? Because that's really good.
In my case, we do a lot of free downloads through Manual Music. And that's the way to get numbers up. I think a lot of you guys are familiar with Hyped It, for instance, that you can give away a free download. And in return, you ask people to follow your playlist. And actually, I've made Spotify optional to follow. It's not even mandatory, but it's a way to let people know that it's out there, you know? So you can get a free download and they're like, oh, do you want to follow this playlist as well? You can say no, but a lot of people say yes. And I think, to be honest, I made it in a way that it's like really small that people think that they should follow, which they shouldn't. I don't want to twist people's arms to follow the playlist, but that was the way for me to really build it up. And once it already has a proper following, then it kind of grows organically, because a lot of people see the playlist like, when you go to one of the artists and like, oh, his or her music was discovered on this and this and this playlist. And my playlist is often in there. So then more people discover the playlist. When you add people's music, they tend to follow you as well. So yeah, it's more of an organic growth nowadays.
I suppose if you're adding 15 tracks a week as well, that's 15, potentially 15 artists that are going to share it every week, and that's going to help grow as well.
Yeah, actually with Submit Hub as well, the couple of tracks that I choose, then when you update your playlist, you can send them a message with the link to the playlist, and then you can put a little message as well that their track is added. And I always ask them really friendly, like, it would be really cool if you'd follow my playlist, and put a little social media shout out about the inclusion of your song on my playlist. So that all helps, you know. And it's basically the same as the record company part, with pitching every release we put out there to the right playlist. There's a lot of time into it, but I also put a lot of time into my playlists and make sure that it gets updated every week, and that it gets updated with fresh music on top of the playlist, instead of having the same song in the top 10 of your playlist. You know, I see a lot of playlists with a great potential, and then they fail to update it for 3 months, and then you lose your steady listeners as well. And I'm pretty sure I've got quite some listeners who return every week because they know I will update it every week and check out the new music. So that really helps in terms of engagement as well.
I've seen that across many platforms, like by you turning up each week, they'll turn up for you, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's the same for me. I mean, at the moment, I don't have a lot of time to check out other playlists anymore, unfortunately. But in the beginning of Spotify, I was following a lot of playlists and just checking them every week. But yeah, when some playlists fail to update regularly, I unsubscribed myself, because I thought like, yeah, okay, this is just filling up my Spotify screen, and they never update or hardly ever update with new music. And that's not interesting for me, you know. So it's also a lot of time and effort, but worth it, I think. Yeah.
One of the questions in the chat is, if you're adding 15 tracks, are you taking out 15 old tracks?
Yeah. In the beginning, I wasn't doing that. But then you end up with a playlist with at a certain point, you've got thousands of songs in there. And now, some playlists, you see they have 60 or they have 80 tracks. I've limited my playlist with 100. So 15 new ones added, and then on top, and the oldest 15 ones to get removed from the bottom, basically.
Okay, so literally in the top and down at the bottom. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's 20, or sometimes it's 25, sometimes it's 10. So let's say it's on average it's 20 new tracks a week, which also means that every new track that gets added will stay in the playlist for approximately 5 weeks.
Nice. That's a good way to do it. Yeah. I may borrow that.
If you say so.
Yeah. I just kind of leave them in for a while until I get bored of them. I kind of try to put my tracks in some sort of order that I would listen, essentially as a mix. I think I tried to curate it as a mix, and then they just sort of stay in there as long as I'm into them still, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong about that, right? I mean, it's a different way of working for everyone. I also have the manual selections playlist, which isn't for, it sounds a bit strange to say, for outsiders. The manual selections playlist is only for our own in-house labels and for the labels we distribute. And that one isn't limited to 100 tracks. It just new tracks are added on top. And it just grows and grows. And I don't know, let me check. I've got Spotify open here. It's got 2,263 songs in there at the moment. So
wow.
It will just keep on growing right until the point that Spotify says, like, okay, your playlist is too big now. And then, because I think there's a cap as well with the number of songs you can add to a playlist, but it's quite big. Yeah.
I saw one with like 10,000 once. So I think you've got plenty of time.
Oh, I've got plenty of years to go. Yeah.
Have you tried the Spotify Green Room yet?
No. Tell me more about it, because I've heard about it, but I'm not too familiar with it yet.
It just seems to be like Clubhouse for Spotify.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I'm on Clubhouse as well, but I never hosted anything yet. So.
Yeah, me too. Our Clubhouse sort of kicked off for us in like January, and I was so busy with either homeschooling and rolling out my first version of my course that I just didn't have the time to do it. And then I came into doing Twitch, so then we're on Twitch now, so it's all good.
Yeah, let's do this again if you're up for it. I really loved it. So
100%, 100%. I'm well done for that. It's been good fun.
Yeah, and thanks for everyone sending the music. I mean, without music, we couldn't be doing this. So great, man. It was really my pleasure. And I hope I could help some of you guys and that I wasn't too harsh on you. But I think at the end, it's always best to be honest, right? So yeah, I'm really happy with it and really happy with the music that's being sent our way today.